come preach as well. And I want to just tell you, especially if you're new here, and also if you have been around for some time, this is a very unusual situation, okay? Usually we do have other people leading worship. Usually I do some of the preaching together with Miak and some of our other guest preachers. But today's a little bit unusual because our worship team has been going through a lot of different changes, good changes. Two of our worship leaders are new mothers. In fact, one of them just gave birth yesterday. So very exciting, and we're very thankful for the safe delivery. But because of some of the changes within our worship team, and you know, we didn't want them to be spread too thin. So in a meeting a couple of months ago, what we told them was that, okay, why don't we take one of the teams out of rotation, spread them out a little bit so everyone can breathe, and then the pastors once a month will try to do something. Okay, either an alternative form of worship or kind of stand in some way. And so that's what's happening, okay? So in case you're kind of like trying to figure out what's going on, like Molly this morning, she's like, huh, Pauline, you got promoted to worship leader? I said, no. I'm just standing in for a little bit, okay? Just for a season. So... and so I want to thank the team today. So this team is actually an ad hoc team, okay? So they are very, very kind to step in and say, okay, we will play, we will sing. So I'm very thankful for them. They were actually part of the team that played and sang for the anniversary service 2 weeks ago. And so for those of you who came for our anniversary service, you'll find some of the songs familiar, right? Because we actually did some of the songs from there. So I told them, so you don't have to rehearse extra, okay? Yeah, so I'm thankful for them. So... with the end of our anniversary service 2 weeks ago, last week we started a new preaching series, and it's called Pilgrimage. And today we're going to talk about the pilgrimage of the heart. And I don't have the clicker with me here, so I am going to ask Yen Mei to help me to kind of click through the slides, if that's okay. Thanks, Charlotte, for stepping in. Yeah, so I'm just going to read to you this psalm. Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even a sparrow has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it in pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does God withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. This beautiful psalm is often called a psalm of pilgrimage. Every year, crowds would flock to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, and they would journey from every part of Israel and make this pilgrimage to the holy city to worship at the temple. And I think the psalmist is probably writing about this experience. As you can see from this psalm, pilgrimage is both an internal and an external experience. In preparing for this sermon series, I've been learning a lot about pilgrimage from this. And if you can click to the next slide. From the Society of St. John the Evangelist, an Anglican monastic order. They have lovely resources on their website. And I must thank Miak for sharing about them with me. And I wanted to mention them firstly because I wanted to credit them for some of our sermon material that we were getting in terms of the structure for this whole series. And secondly, I wanted to share this resource with you because I think you might find it helpful too. Next slide. The English word pilgrim comes from the Latin peregrinus, which means foreigner. Foreigner. As Christians, we need to hear this word pilgrim or foreigner in the light of Jesus and in the language of Jesus. As Christians, we are a pilgrim people. And if you can move to the next slide. And if you can move to the next slide, thank you. Pilgrimage is woven into the very roots of our faith. Beginning with Abraham, the first pilgrim, if you remember, in Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abram, and then later on changes his name to Abraham, to leave his house and journey into a land unknown. He says, leave your country, your kindred, your father's house, and go on a journey to a foreign land. So at that time, Abraham became nomadic. He actually pitches a tent every night, right? And the next morning, he'll take it down, move on. And I think this nomadic foreigner spirit is fundamental to our Judeo-Christian tradition. We are pilgrim people right from the start. And then the story continues with Exodus, right? Where the people, and if you think about it, it's essentially a 40-year pilgrimage. God's people are enslaved in Egypt, abused by Pharaoh, and God raises up Moses to bring them out of Egypt. And then Moses leads them on an epic journey across the desert to the promised land. And this thread continues through the Bible, even into the Gospels, as Jesus calls his disciples to follow him away from their homes and all that they've known into a journey unknown. In Mark chapter 1, it says, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said, follow me, follow me. And immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. In Matthew chapter 19, he called the rich young man and said, sell everything you have and follow me. In Luke 5, he saw a tax collector called Levi and said to him, follow me. And up he got, he left everything and followed Jesus. This uncompromising command that Jesus has to leave everything, indeed the longing to leave everything to follow Jesus, actually inspired many of the first monastics. I don't know if you've heard of the desert fathers and mothers, okay? But they were basically people who left all of their property, left their families, their wealth, and they went to live in communities of faith in the desert areas. And I think this must be very hard for us to imagine, right? Living in our modern day cities and going, what's that like? And I'm very thankful that I got a chance to catch a glimpse of what their lives in these desert communities was like. Because it was one of the places that we visited when our church group was on our own kind of pilgrimage to Israel in December last year. So if you go to the next slide. When we were in Israel, we went to visit the Qumran Caves. And if you've heard of this, this area is actually very famous because this is where the Dead Sea Scrolls were first discovered in 1946 by a Bedouin shepherd boy. The Dead Sea Scrolls are actually more than 2,000 years old, and they contain fragments of every Old Testament book except Esther. And what's also interesting about the Qumran area is that this is where the Qumran sect lived during the Second Temple period, means after Jesus. And during that period, there were people, there were a Jewish community. They took very seriously Jesus' command to leave everything and follow him. And so they came out into the desert. They created a community within the desert. There were tunnels underground and different things. And they lived a strict and very separate kind of life in the desert. I don't think most of us are called to such extreme acts of renunciation for the sake of following Jesus. Yet Jesus' command contains a deep truth for each one of us. The first step in our pilgrimage for each one of us, all of us, will always be a movement away from a renunciation of the familiar. Or what is familiar to you? Unless we let go of the familiar, the safe, the secure, unless we take the risk of becoming vulnerable, we cannot grow. And this is one of the main reasons why pilgrims used to set out for holy destinations, right? They were longing to take a journey of transformation. It wasn't just to go to a place to see something. It was to go on a journey of transformation. And to do so, they literally leave behind the familiar and the known, and they physically journey into a place and a future that only God can envision. And this physical journey can sometimes jumpstart the transformation, because it's a very radical act, right? Of leaving a world that you know so well and going to a place where you don't know anything about. And so a pilgrimage of transformation requires first that we leave everything behind and set out on a journey that will lead us into a new life. So, you know, down through the centuries, if you've read the Pilgrim's Progress, looked at history, people have gone on pilgrimage sometimes to purge their own souls of emotional baggage, of debris, of all the bad things that have happened, and to walk off maybe a past chapter of their lives. And for others, it's so that they can walk into a new chapter of their lives. To be able to say yes to God's abundant gift of life in the present. And to freely walk into the future that God has for us. And often it's a mix of both. Leaving some parts of our life behind and walking into something new that God has for us. Pilgrimage is often about losing our old self and finding ourselves anew. There's some form of transformation within, and that's what truly marks a pilgrimage. It's not whether we've been somewhere physically or not, it's what's happening in the heart. So in her book, Pilgrimage of the Heart, if you can go to the next slide, thank you. Sister Benedicta Ward. Thank you. Next slide. Basically, it helps us understand the four different stages, right, for different ones of us, when it comes to a physical and a spiritual pilgrimage. So she says it's possible that you can stay, right? And to stay, you can be completely lazy and attempt to do nothing, go nowhere, and you just stay where you are, right now in your life, exactly where you are. Okay, you don't do anything, you ignore it altogether. No pilgrimage for me, okay, spiritual or physical, otherwise, okay. It's also possible, right, to stay and yet to go by undertaking the pilgrimage of the heart while remaining in one place. So maybe I'm going to stay here in Singapore. I'm not going to fly away and walk in the desert, but I'm undertaking a pilgrimage of my heart. And that is one of the ways that transformation can happen. It's also possible to go inwardly, right, by longing and desire in the heart, and to confirm this by an outward pilgrimage. So there's a both physical journey and also a spiritual journey of transformation. And then there's also possible to go with your feet. Do you know people like that? Like, they go to a lot of places, right? They even go to holy sites. But not with the heart. And that's actually essentially a tourist. Maybe a runaway. Maybe an explorer. Maybe someone who's running away from their lives, a dropout from their lives. In which case, there's been no real movement inside. You've basically made a journey physically, but nothing has changed on the inside. So whether or not each of us eventually chooses to embark on a physical pilgrimage at some point in our lives, we are all called to set out ever fresh, ever new, on the inner kind of pilgrimage, the pilgrimage of the heart. And like what the psalmist says, we are called to yearn for the presence of God as we follow Christ on this journey of growth and transformation. You know, my closest experience to taking a pilgrimage in both the physical, the external, and the internal sense would be my visit to Israel last year, together with FCC members and friends. And so if you can go to the next slide. Thank you. For me, it wasn't so much visiting certain sites that have been claimed to be where Jesus was born, where Jesus died, where Jesus was buried. That was the most moving and transforming experience for me. That was good to see, interesting, okay, but that wasn't actually the most moving part of the experience for me. For me, it was more just being present in the land and taking in the entire experience, the sights, the smells, the sounds, the terrain, the people, with my whole being. Being there in the various locations was very interesting and extremely informative. It really helped me better understand the terrain, the surrounding environment, the distance between places that I talked about in the stories in our Bible. And I could almost imagine what it was like for Jesus walking from town to town. Going to these places helped me visualize what Jerusalem, and this is a picture of Jerusalem, the Lake of Galilee and Gethsemane was like, and how Jesus would have looked out at those places and looked out at those people with such love. We even, if you go to the next slide, so on one side you see one of the stations of the cross, okay, on the Via Dolorosa. And on the other slide, you see a baptism that we were doing in the Jordan River. So we even held a baptism service at the Jordan River. And that was for some of our siblings who wanted to get baptized. And that was a deeply moving experience for those getting baptized. And I think for all of us who were there with them, who were there to witness, who were there to love on them as they got baptized. And interestingly, one of the most memorable and moving experiences for me was actually observing the light in Israel. If you go to the next slide. I noticed it first while we were on the boat in the Sea of Galilee. And those of you who were on the trip, I'm sure you remember that. And we were worshipping together, right? Singing songs like Oceans, naturally. And just taking in the sights. But as I saw the light streaming in through the clouds, I could almost imagine what it must have been like for the disciples to see Jesus walking out onto the water towards them, stilling the storm. And later how they watched him ascending into heaven after his death and resurrection. It reminded me of Jesus' promise that he is coming again. And until then, he's with us to the end of the age. Seeing that light streaming in comforted and encouraged me. And I observed this same light in many of the places we visited. And if you can click the slide. Thank you. You know, when we go to places like Israel, it's possible to think that you are a pilgrim, while you might actually simply be a religious tourist. Possible? Yes, right. It's very easy to hang around holy places, see the sights, touch the stone, collect the postcards, buy souvenirs, but close ourselves off to change and transformation. It's possible. So whether we have been on a physical pilgrimage or not, that's not the most important thing. The true pilgrimage is the pilgrimage of our hearts. What's going on in here? And that's something that we can take daily with God. An encounter with God doesn't have to happen at a place that is specified by others to be holy. Therefore, you can encounter God here. In fact, the places in our lives where we encounter God is what makes it special and sacred. So you could sit here and have an encounter with God. You could be at work or at school or somewhere in the moment and have an encounter with God, and that is sacred. That is holy. Sometimes it's about us being present with God, no matter where we may be, making ourselves available and continually opening ourselves up to God. And I wonder, how has that been true of your life recently? Have you been open to God? Have you been allowing God to work in you as you are present with God? I understand it is not easy. It is not easy to continually open ourselves up to God. I try to be present with God moment by moment, but I often fail and I struggle and I get distracted sometimes. So over this past week, I was reading and meditating on Psalm 82. It led to some lessons and reflections for me that I'd like to share with you. And in this psalm, we see three things. So if you could click through the pictures. Yeah. Okay. Next slide. Thank you. So in this psalm, we see three things. We see the passion of the pilgrim. And I'm sorry, it should be Psalm 84. I typed it wrongly. Okay. You see the passion of the pilgrim, the path of the pilgrim, and the purpose of the pilgrim. The passion of the pilgrim. If you click to the next slide, can you sense the passion of the pilgrim when you read these verses? How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The psalmist yearns to be in the presence of God. Their hearts cry out for the living God. So passionate they are about being in God's presence that they say, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Can we say the same thing about ourselves? How passionate are you for the presence of God in your life? Or are you kind of half-hearted about God? What the Bible sometimes describes as neither hot nor cold. Passion is crucial because without passion, we live lukewarm and mediocre lives. God is calling us to be wholehearted, to be passionate. And are you passionate enough to leave the familiar, the safe, the secure, and set out on a journey towards the new life and transformation that God may have for you? Next slide. Next slide. Sorry, he has to go back one slide. Thank you. Next is the path of the pilgrim. I found the verses that actually caught me was this verse that says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. And they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. And you know the Hebrew word Baca is related to this word that means to weep. To weep. Baca actually refers to a type of weeping tree. It's a type of tree that drips kind of gum-like tears. And so they call it the weeping tree. And so the psalmist uses the valley of Baca to symbolically illustrate a difficult and sorrowful path in life. A difficult path in life. See, the path of the pilgrim is not always easy. It's not going to always be smooth. It's not going to always be simple for us to walk. In fact, it's almost guaranteed that we will experience heartaches, sorrow, pain, trials, and weeping. The name of this valley, and because it's in the desert, and because of the type of tree that they had, indicates a very dry and arid region, because this is where these weeping trees tend to grow. And as people traveled to Jerusalem to worship, they would pass through this weeping place, this very weary weeping place. But the psalmist says their journey was worth it in the end because they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it in pools and they go from strength to strength. And I was reflecting on these verses and I realized something very interesting. Because the psalmist says they make it into a place of springs. This desert area. I mean, how do you pass through a dry, arid region, a valley of weeping, and make it into a place of springs? I mean, how? To me, this means that the people were involved in some way in improving the situation of the valley just by passing through it. This, as they pass through, they make it a place of springs. And this implies that their presence, as they pass through this valley of weeping, with this presence and with their tears, step by step, with determination and courage, they are able to make it a place of springs, a place of refreshment and hope. And it was not just by their own efforts, because God sends the autumn rains that also cover the dry valley with pools. Imagine a parched desert covered with pools of water. Not just a few drops of water to satiate your thirst, but pools of water. There's a sense of provision, of abundance, of overflowing, even in this desert of weeping. If it feels like you're walking through the desert of weeping and tears at this moment in your life, I want to encourage you to know that God will send the autumn rains and cover this desert of tears with pools of water. And as you take every step with determination and courage through the valley of Baca, you will make it a place of refreshment and hope. That is our path as pilgrims. We will walk through the valley of weeping, but we will make it a place of refreshment and hope if we continue to dwell in God's presence, if we continue to find strength in the Lord, if our hearts are set on pilgrimage. And the next slide. And thirdly, the purpose of the pilgrim. You see, as pilgrims, we're not simply wanderers. We're not wandering around for nothing, getting lost. This pilgrimage of ours is not just away from our old life. It's not just going deep into our hearts. Our journey is actually towards something specific. We seek the city which is to come. We are headed somewhere. We have a destination. Our pilgrimage journey is towards God and shalom. Shalom is the wholeness and completeness that God is moving you and me and all of creation toward. So the journey, whether it's the journey of Abraham or Moses or Jesus' disciples or the medieval pilgrims, or even for us, has never been simply about traveling across a physical space towards a holy site. Every outward journey of pilgrimage always has at its true goal an inner journey of transformation. So the essence of pilgrimage then is the journey within our hearts. And every day, Jesus is calling us into a new life. Every day, Jesus is asking us, what does it mean to let go? To let go of what has become too comfortable, too familiar, too safe. It means every morning we wake up to a new day and say to God, where do you want to lead me today on this journey of life? What are you asking me to leave behind? How are you asking me to change? Jesus continues this call for us to grow and to change. But it can be scary at times. I don't know. It's scary for me. Because as human beings, change is hard. Familiar is nice, easy, change is hard, and we naturally prefer the safe and the familiar. But don't be afraid, because we are not called to do this alone. If you go to the next slide, Brother Curtis Emquist said, Jesus is the inspiration at the beginning, the companion along the way, and the fulfillment at the journey's end, gone ahead to prepare a dwelling place for us forever. Jesus, the Alpha and Omega and the way. For us followers of Jesus, life on earth is not incidental, is not accidental. Life is sacramental, outward experiences of inward graces, every step of the way. Our quest is to learn to pray our lives, to practice the presence of God, which is the way of the pilgrim. We are pilgrims in life. So not only is Jesus our companion on this journey, we also have one another in this community. So come alongside a brother or a sister or a sibling today, and let's push on in this pilgrimage, this pilgrim life together. Next slide. May we all be pilgrims with a passion for God's presence in our lives daily. May our passion for God be contagious, that people around us can't help but catch the fire that burns within us. May we be an encouragement to one another as we find our strength in God. May we be pilgrims who know that while our path may take us through the valley of weeping and tears, we can walk on with courage and determination, knowing that God will send the autumn rains and cover the parched desert with pools of water. And as we walk through the valley of tears, dwelling in God's presence and strength, we will make the valley of weeping into a place of refreshment and hope. Maybe not right now, maybe not tomorrow or next week, maybe not even next year. But I believe the autumn rains will come and we will have the resources we need to tide us through. And though it may not feel like it sometimes, in the midst of the ups and downs, we are growing from strength to strength till we see God face to face. May we be pilgrims who know and are actively involved in fulfilling our purpose. Even though there will be times when we are fearful and uncertain, may we have the courage to let go of what has become too comfortable, too safe, too familiar, and wake up to each new day, willing to walk towards a new life of growth and transformation, knowing that God walks with us as we walk with one another. Last slide. And even though we may stumble and fall, the Lord is our strength, our sun and shield. Blessed is the one who trusts in God. Amen.